Guys, thank you very much again for joining us today. I know it's sort of in the middle of your daytime or afternoons there over in the UK or Germany or wherever you might be. But we've got a bit of a special here for the podcast and the Kranich Command, talking all about Bring Out Your Lead, because it was a bit of a special event this year in 2023, as it was the last time it was going to be held at the venue at the Foundry, the War Games Foundry. And I really wanted to ask you on to, as some of you, it's your first time to ever attend the event, so that we can get more of a sort of a, visual description, mental description of, and just to try to imagine what it's like walking through the big sort of arched stable doors or whatever they are at the front there, and walking in there and experiencing what Bring Out Your Lead is and what it's all about, and why it's such a popular venue for old hammerers and just wargamers alike. So I thought maybe we could ask a few people here. And Jack, I think maybe we'll ask you, mate, first. What was your experience? Is this your first time to attend Bring Out Your Lead?
This is my first time to attend. I did actually a little bit of a scouting expedition to the Foundry a couple of weeks before, just so I could find a place. But yeah, first time to Bring Out Your Lead is just fantastic. It really is. It's like being at a very festival sort of atmosphere. Very, very friendly. They're really, really pleasant. I kind of wish I'd gone previous years, actually. I think without kind of necessarily knowing people there to go and have a game, I kind of didn't go before. And it's absolutely great. Really, really friendly place. Really fantastic. And the Foundry, obviously, limited time to go see it now, but it's worth a pilgrimage, and it's right. And right, because the kind of model collection there is, you'll see things you recognise. It's quite peculiar seeing things you've seen in old White Dwarfs just kind of sat there on display. And it's really, really great.
Excellent. I'm glad everyone had positive experience. I think anybody who goes to Bring Out Your Lead comes away feeling that they had wished they'd come, many years before that. So that's really good that you had a really good experience. Now, Clem, is it your first time, mate, or you're a veteran now?
No, it was my first time as well. Yeah, I only found out about it. I could have gone last year. I found about just in time, but I had a wedding to go to instead, my brother-in-law's wedding. So this was my first time, yeah. And, as Archstead, it's just such a great setting for it. It's such an old hammer setting for an old hammer event. I mean, the carriage court itself, where Foundry is, I mean, it's like walking into one of the buildings from the modelling workshop in White Dwarf in some ways, like the area, like once you get off the main road into the village where it is, and you walk up to it, it's just down to like the huge oak trees and stuff. You can kind of, you can kind of almost see that maybe they went there because of all the themes they were into. Like it kind of looks like something out of the third edition rule book.
It literally does, actually. That's a really good observation.
It was just really enjoyable. That I think that kind of, because the atmosphere was wonderful, and that like you said, the festival kind of feel to it. It felt very kind of family, and you could, like, obviously I know a little bit about Foundry and their kind of links and stuff, but you could just pick up on that kind of family feel that this whole setting and kind of genre has been in and out of that family all the way along, kind of stuff. Like seeing the stuff in the shop there, wonderful. And the shop felt really, like, I like how the guy at the till is like nestled behind, he's got a round till desk in front of him, but on that they've got the original metal master of the polystyrene mighty fortress. And he sits behind that as like his little defences around the till kind of thing. And seeing all the old stuff in the cabinets is just fantastic. All the old, I love seeing the old like black lined like war bands from White Dwarfs. Like I saw some of the, they didn't have all of it, but they had the Gene Stealer Colts hybrid, like the orc hybrids that they once did.
Yeah, the Gene Stealer limo.
Everything in that is real clear. Black lining, bright colour thing that it was like looking at those White Dwarf pages for the first time all over again, kind of thing. It's so striking. All the glyphs and stuff on them. Yeah, great place. really good. And they were just really welcoming. Like, I almost quite quickly didn't feel like it was my first time there, because like Diana Ansel there and stuff, she's really good. Like, I went to get the sculpting thing done. We had your little boy with us and stuff. She was like, straight away, she was like, oh yes, we'll make this happen, kind of thing, like in a real friendly way. It was good.
That was incredible. I can't believe that was a thing. So getting Kev Adams to carve your faces onto a goblin, that's absolutely fantastic. So my son's got a little goblin of his own.
Wonderful. That's great, guys. And I know that, Marcel, it was your first trip as well. You traveled internationally from Germany to the UK to visit, bring out your leg for the very first time. So what was your first impression, mate?
As the guy said before, it was really friendly atmosphere. Like-minded people all around you. You could just stop by a table looking, asking questions. Everyone was forthcoming. And the staff from the foundry was also really friendly and helpful. I'm really happy I restrained myself of buying historical miniatures, because the foundry has a lot of ranges for that. And seeing all the display cases with the old Games Workshop miniatures there was just mind-blowing. It was good to watch them again on Sunday, because then it was a little bit more not so crowded, because people were leaving already. And then I managed to get on my knees and looked at the bottom shelves. You normally wouldn't do that if the shop is crowded. And then you could see even better all the terrain and miniatures at the bottom, like all the old made houses and streets from the White Dwarf are there, and you could look at them from different angles, because now you have the room to move around a bit more. And that was just really great. And also meeting Kev Adams was my personal highlight, because I was not planning doing the sculpting thing, but then the other guys did it, and I thought, ah, oh, come on, it's one in a lifetime, and it's for charity. So I just grabbed a blister of, I don't know, late medieval captains to get my face sculpted on one of them, and that was just an opportunity I have to take.
And, it's definitely it's a shut up and take my money moment, that one.
Yeah. And the day before, we went to Warhammer World, and just regarding the old Hammer or Hero Hammer stuff I'm interested in, Foundry was so much worth it than Warhammer World, because in Warhammer World it was just one side of the wall with a few displayed there, and that was the old stuff, and the rest, of course, I mean, I get it, was the new stuff they want to sell. So if you are into the old stuff, visit the Foundry, definitely.
Wonderful. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you had a really good first impression of visiting Bring Out Your Lad in the UK as well, and visiting Warhammer World. So that's all great. You can do that all within a very short distance of each other, because they're all within the same vicinity. But we also have a veteran of Bring Out Your Lad, and that's Kettle Trout. Kettle Trout, how are you going, mate?
I am all right. Thanks. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us, mate. So you've been there for quite consecutive years, I take it, yeah, to Bring Out Your Lad.
Yeah, this year was the fourth time I've been, so not there are obviously people who've been attending much longer than I have, but yeah, since I first went, I think in 2018, I've made the effort to go back each year, because it's a really enjoyable event, and in addition to seeing lots of lovely old miniatures and games and people doing a lot of stuff specifically for Boyle, making custom boards or running scenarios that you don't often see, where I've made friendships with people, with people that I've met there, and then maybe in the following year we'll arrange to have a game, or and I've made some kind of enduring friendships, within the hobby, just from people that I've met there again. I think it was, again, everyone else is saying it's a really open and welcoming environment. A lot of like-minded people and what can be, quite a small niche weird hobby. So yeah, I really enjoy it as an event. I think Marcel makes a good point as well, in that over the 3 days from the Friday, Saturday and Sunday, each day, because of the number of attendees, tends to have a very different character, you know, with Saturday being much busier generally, which means there's a lot of stuff going on, but maybe it's more difficult to see the foundry cabinets, or, you know, there's less space and stuff to move around, so you can maybe appreciate what Foundry has to offer outside of Boyle better on Friday or the Sunday when there's more space to kind of get in about stuff.
I liked that we had a kind of Crown of Command table as a bit of a kind of base camp for us, actually. That was quite handy.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference as well, definitely.
Yeah, that worked out really well.
Garthy does the table bookings is you know, really good at organizing that and trying to combine disparate bookings and sort of make sure you have access to the same table if you have consecutive things booked, and he's very good at adapting on the day to try and make it as convenient as possible for everyone who's there. So trying to maximize the number of people who are, you know, so that all the tables are constantly in use, but in the most efficient way possible. So yeah, big credit to him for that as well.
Yep, absolutely. Garth James being the main organizer for Bring Out Your Lead since its conception. And it would have been pretty emotional, I think, at the end to say, well, not goodbye, but, you know, to say, you know, this is the end of this time, this 10-year tenure at the War Games Foundry. And of course, they're going to move at some point into a new location, and the Bring Out Your Lead event will live on in another location, I presume within somewhere within Nottingham, as it's the lead belt, as they call it, I'm presume it's going to be there somewhere. So I'm interested to know what kind of games are being played there, and about the Crown of Command table, and what games you guys played. So Marcel, could you tell us about what games did you play on the Crown of Command table?
I brought my dwarves from Germany to the to Bring Out Your Lead. So I made just a small list, and because it's dwarves, I don't have to bother with magic items and such stuff. And I played, I think, two games. First was against Clem's Goblins, and I think the last game was also against Clem's Goblins. It was really fun. We had a lot of fun just rolling dice, and it was not competitive in any way. And also the atmosphere with the other guys in the room we were located playing and having fun, that was just cool. And of course, seeing the other tables. Sadly, I missed one game where they played the this Praetorian Joust game from the White Dwarf.
Mm.
That was really well made.
Yep.
And sadly, I missed that. I only saw it, and then it was packed up. That was quite sad, but yeah, okay, maybe next time.
Marcel, they're planning to bring it back next year, so there
you go. Yeah, even better. Okay. And for me, highlight, but really nice to see, because I just sat next to the table and watched it, was a game of what's it called? Starfleet Battles, the forefather of Battlefleet Gothic. Space Fleet. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Starfleet is the Star Trek thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Space Fleet, mm-hmm. And that was just great because the rules were so weird compared to.
Yeah.
Newer GW rules, because you had to roll in that box lid with your D6 and making critical hits and stuff like that. And it was just a fun to watch because there was a chain reaction with explosions and suddenly half the board was empty because all the ships just exploded. That was really, really nice to see, because you don't see that game, I think, very often.
Mm. And just a quick shout out, I know you mentioned the Bretonian jousting game, and Ewan Cameron, he actually emailed me because he helped me out with a scan of one of the GW catalogs, the red catalog, to make a t-shirt print at some point. And he would like to, he wanted to join us this evening, but I said, mate, I think we've just got too many people and it might be just a little bit crowded, you know, in terms of voices and, you know, people wanting to talk and that kind of thing. So I might bring them, him and his friend on at some point as a Bring Out Your Lead Part 2 podcast at some point in the future. But he said it'd be a great honor if you can mention us and the game that we played at Bring Out Your Lead. I did see pictures of it. It looked absolutely amazing. It instantly reminded me of Dave Andrews, the diorama he made, I think, for Games Day at one point during the 90s. And then it became a White Dwarf game that you could get an access through White Dwarf magazine. So yeah, it'd be really nice to have seen that. It looked really, really pretty on the table.
There was a lot of that. A lot of the, this is why we do this, isn't it? Because it looks so fantastic set up on the table. But you could wander around and just look at just armies that have been lovingly curated for kind of decades, I think, in many cases. And yeah, there was a lot of kind of going around and just looking at the fantastic armies people have created. Our very own Mr. Kennel, I suppose we call you that, right up amongst top of them. You know, seeing some of his miniatures firsthand, it was a pleasure, really, having seen him on the Discord.
So,
thank you.
Kettle, can you tell us about, you know, what army you brought today to the event and what games you played on the day?
Right, so over the course of the weekend, I ended up mainly playing third edition fantasy, which is kind of really my main area of interest. I brought an Orc and Goblins army and a Fimmer army with me. And yeah, over the course of the weekend, kind of switched those in and out. I also ended up playing a bit of Dungeon Bowl on Sunday, which was a nice change of pace. I played a bit of Blood Bowl previously, but I never played Dungeon Bowl, so that was interesting. It's good fun.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, mate. So yeah, it's a pretty broad church, is a sort of a term they use a lot now in wargaming podcasts and that kind of thing. But Bring Out Your Lead is not exclusive to third edition. Of course, it spans many generations of games and different systems. And you know, I think even Garth said, if you want to play Age of Sigma, you know, just play Age of Sigma, just book a table and start playing.
Yeah,
it's very inclusive in that sense. Yeah,
I think technically the only stipulation they have for the type of miniatures and the type of games that are played is that any models on the table must be painted, and that's the only stipulation that they have. So open to all manufacturers, all eras, you know, from the dark, deep, distant past through to, you know, modern Games Workshop or any other manufacturer.
I definitely saw a game of sixth edition fantasy being played, I think, on the Sunday, surely.
I think people were playing Frostgrave and Stargrave and, you know, really modern stuff. I think there might even have been some people playing Warcry. But I was speaking to some of the old guys and you know, the real original people in the pub on Saturday night, and one of them was retelling a story where one year they had an enormous siege battle, and that was quite early in the history of Bring Out Your Lead, before it was at the Carriage Court when Foundry was still based in, and I think it was an old abattoir in Nottingham. They organised an enormous siege game, the third edition rules, with two armies advancing along, or one force advancing on the fortification, and everyone brought pieces of their own mighty fortress, and Brian Ansell, as the fort was being set up, disappeared and came back with the original Metal Master, which I don't think was on display at that point, put it down on the table, and Dave Gilson politely removed it from the table and said to Brian Ansell they wouldn't be using it because it was unpainted and therefore not eligible to be used.
If there's one game I would love to see, it's the Gilson brothers, you know, touting it out on the tabletop. Marcel, you were involved in some altercation, I believe, with the Gilson brothers.
Involuntarily. Yeah. I didn't really saw it because I suddenly got hit by I don't know, was it a magic spell card or a magic item card?
It's a flying card, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very funny account. I mean, I feel sorry if you got hit back in the head, but I mean, if you're going to get hit in the back of the head by something, Marcel, I mean, you know, luckily it was just a fourth edition magic card, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't the master of the Mighty Fortress.
Exactly. No. Yeah.
That just shows the atmosphere, because the guys at the table there behind us, they had a blast and were really into it. And then and they said, oh, sorry. And then, of course, no problem at all. I handed the card back and they continued as did we. So
yeah.
No problem at all.
As long as no fists and blood was involved between the Gilson game, I'm sure everything will be fine. Now, you guys, Marcel, you played 4th edition too, didn't you? You guys played 4th edition on the Chronic Command table?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe, Clem, you also played 3rd edition, or was it purely 4th edition?
No, I stuck with 4th edition in the end, because that's, what we kind of have more of. I mean, my list was still largely those 3rd edition army books based on. So I still use the three sizes of catapult and stuff, but yeah, all 4th edition I actually played.
Lovely, lovely.
Against the unluckiest dwarfs in the whole world.
I've never seen Goblin Chariots do so well. They did everything that you dream they can do.
Yeah. Teach me how, Clem. I need to know how, mate. Mine just disintegrate before they even reach the target, so... You got to give me some chariot tactics.
It helps if you have 5 organ guns that cause more casualties to themselves than your enemies.
Yeah, that's true. I've been on the sore end of a organ gun in my time. I know the feeling. So that's wonderful. Okay, that's really good, guys. That's really good. Now Jack and Marcel and Clem, you guys play together. Who also was at your table?
Timothy and Roger, who's Maddox on the Discord.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Mad old Roger.
So, I dragged along my brother and son as well.
Oh, okay, good. That's good. Lovely. That's wonderful. Yeah, so it's a very much a family inclusive thing, isn't it? Bring it, Len. You can bring your kids along and they can have fun. They can do stuff. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of participation games held to bring it, Len. Is that right? You can join.
There was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people brought their kids along, which, I mean, it was summer holidays, so I kind of pretty much had to. But I was slightly worried he'd feel a little out of place, but there were a lot of kids there. And so it was so friendly. He just had a great time sort of wandering around asking people about their miniatures. And I think we spotted a couple of YouTubers we watched, and he just wandered up and introduced himself to them, which is pretty bold for a 6-year-old, but there you go. He got to play in that participation game of, what was it called? It was like Necromunda rules, but
it was Hell's Reach.
Yeah, so he got to play alongside Eric from Eric's Hobby Workshop on the game there on the Saturday, which he loved. So yeah, it's very family friendly. I'll probably be bringing him back next year as well.
Yeah, I'm also curious of what you actually ate on the day, because I know that Diane Ansel has her own catering company and she provides all the food and that kind of thing. So you've got like a bar and things you can, I presume you can order to eat and that kind of thing. So what guys did you actually what did you munch on during the day? Kentle trout. What did you munch on, mate, today?
The boil food for me is the breakfast rolls. So they offer you like a hot breakfast roll with a selection of eggs, sausages, bacon. You know, just a good full English breakfast in a roll, if you like.
Right.
And that sets you up for a good day's gaming, and pretty reasonably priced, and yeah.
Nice, mate. That would be.
Yeah, all that catering was really, really friendly and well priced. Like, yeah, especially considering that's your only option, really, unless you're going to.
Exactly. But it doesn't feel like they're trying to gouge, attendees for, to make money out of it. It's very much within the spirit of the event.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, even,
just keep playing games, basically.
It's there to fill you up.
I liked it. It had a real friendly feeling of being it's nice to kind of be a bit institutionalized now and then, isn't it? Like when you're at something like that and everything's laid on, and it is like being a kid again, because you just play your game. You don't have to think, oh yeah, at some point I've got to sort out dinner for the family and that. It's like they'll come and let you know when dinner's ready and stuff like that. It's
just, exactly.
Nice. Reasonably priced beer as well, which is nice.
Yeah.
I think, and that's in stark contrast to a lot of other events where companies or brands who will take advantage of the closed atmosphere and charge rates for just really basic food and drink that's much more than you'd expect to pay in a different context. And I just don't get that impression that from Boyle that's what Foundry are trying to do. It's very generous and reasonable and functional, and
proper home cooking, really nice stuff. But
yep, sounds wonderful. Now, did you get to rub shoulders with any big names, any personalities there, old guard from GW at all, guys? Marcel, did you got to talk to Kev Adams, I hear?
Yeah, because we did the Skyping thing, and that was done. We got our pictures taken by one of the Foundry staff, and he handed them over to Kev Adams. And I don't know, after 1 or 2 hours, we could look if he's done with it. And he didn't ask, he just handed me my miniature, because I'm almost bald, so it was really easy for him to recognize me. The same with Clem. Yeah. And I was just, I just said a few words to him that I wasn't planning doing that, but for charity, and it's so nice that he's doing it. And he just shook my hand, and I was really like, oh my God, that's Kev Adams. The realization of that, and that's it. Now, I just didn't want to ask him more questions because he was doing that job there. In the afterthought, I'm kind of sorry, because also Tony Eklund was there, and he had binders with the original drawings of his black and white art, and he just allowed people to go through the binders, and most of it, as I remember, was from the old Warhammer Fantasy roleplay, the artwork, and I saw one of my all-time favorite in it. That was an adventure that was published in The White Dwarf, and it was about an elven necromancer. And I was too shy to ask him if it's for sale. That's a thing I regret. Maybe I will do it next year or so. I don't know.
Wonderful. Okay, any other guys? Because I know John Blanche had attended. I don't know about many other of the other personalities. I know that, Jervis Johnson's been there, Rick Priestley's attended in previous years. Did anybody else come along from the Illuminati?
Robin Jews. Yeah, I got Robin to shake hands and say hello to Robin Jews and John Blanche.
Oh, brilliant.
I mean, I was obviously far too Star Trek to say anything, but sort of, yeah. But
that's great.
It was a pleasure to meet them. I think Gary Morley was there, but I didn't see him.
Yeah, no, he was there. Excellent. Tim Pro was there, I think.
Tim Prowse too, that's great.
I spoke to him,
Trish Carden as well, of course.
Oh, yes, Trish. Yeah.
I think Robbie Jews really enjoyed it when you told him his 90s White Dwarf editorials for your happy
place. Yeah. Yeah, totally fanboyed Robbie Jews. Robbie Jews' White Dwarf is the best White Dwarf,
yep.
To be honest.
I'm actually going to agree with you, Jack, there. I think that time, that's when I first got into the hobby, and I think that's my sort of pinnacle time of White Dwarf. It they were smaller, but they just contained so much goodness in there. There was so much great stuff, so much great content. Yeah, that's great. I'm really glad that Robin Dews, I didn't actually know that he attended that event, so that's excellent to hear. and Gary Morley too. That's amazing. That's great. So a few new faces coming to see what's happening. What's all this excitement and talk about with Bring Out Your Lid? So that's good. They're coming there to reconnect with their fans and talk to the people that, you know, really appreciate their work. So
I was really lucky to Kev as much as I did, because when I went back to check that if my model had been done, he had just got on sculpting it. So I got to stand there with him for a bit while he was sculpting it. He said, oh, wow, you really do look like a dwarf, don't you?
Well, you're the spinning image of a troll, say, mate, Clem. And that is a compliment, my friend.
I think that helped that I went back, because then he got to sculpt, like, kind of from talking to us as well. And it was really good. He was a real nice guy. He was just really, really, like, chilled out sitting with him while he sculpting. Like, he works real fast, but it's, like, relaxed as well. It's kind of, yeah.
Surprisingly fast, actually. I can't believe how many sort of individual kind of custom sculpts he did in the course of a day. And they were all really good. Like, you could tell straight away who was who.
Yeah.
And some of those, but also they're very definitely Kev Adams sculpts as well, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
Great. Yeah, I was going to say, Clem, you actually remind me of Mark Jones. Mark Jones was, I think he still works at Games Workshop, but when I worked there in the 1994, you know, he was like a real troll slayer. I mean, he had the red beard, the red long hair, and he had all these hairs and braids with all the beads and stuff like that. Like, he just looked like a troll slayer. It was amazing. So you sort of look like him, actually. You reminded me of him.
So, I have to look him up.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, if you look at the old White Dwarves, mate, Mark Jones, you look at Mark Jones's photo, yeah, he's a spinning image of a troll slayer. I mean, he obviously does it intentionally to look like a troll slayer. He loves dwarves and that kind of stuff. But, yeah,
might be one of those things where you can't meet because you're so ginger. You can't be in the same place at the same time.
Yeah. No, that's great, guys. Awesome. So, like, you would have walked around the different tables and that kind of thing during the 3 days that, or 2 days or whatever, how many days you were there. What was the highlight? What was it? Because I know, you know, Tom Reynolds, another member of our Discord here, he puts on some outstanding epic Space Marine battles, which I would love to. That's one of my dreams, is to go and play with Tom on his epic boards, because they're all sort of modular, and he does a fantastic work on terrain and miniature painting. It's kind of one of the spectacles of the show, I think. What was your sort of highlight of the show? Kentle Trout, what do you think, mate? What was your sort of pinnacle table? Your dream
table? I got to play a game with a guy called Steve Beals, who's kind of one of the original Oldhammer guys, and he has a really good blog called Somewhere the Tea is Getting Cold. And, you know, he's not updating it as much as he did, you know, in the kind of blogging heyday. But he's got like a really interesting take on Oldhammer, and makes a lot of really unusual armies and terrain. Like in previous years, I think the first year I went to Boyle, he had brought with him a Hearst Artmold's reconstruction of the Temple of Rig, which is from a very early Citadel Compendium or second edition scenario about an Amazonian temple in Lustria, and he stays up in the Lake District of Cumbria, and he'd driven down with this thing in the back of his Land Rover that I think weighed in excess of 20 kilos, you know, the plaster brick, three-story temple. This year he brought a really odd or creative kind of corrupted chaos influenced Empire army, using a whole lot of weird third edition rules. So he had mixed units of pikemen and crossbowmen. He had a small allied undead faction of, you know, kind of a vampire with a unit of raised zombies. He had a unit of kind of peasant levy with a plague carp in the middle of it. And it had sort of plague census bearers, almost like Skaven troop types that came flying out of it when they were approached, like goblin fanatics, you know, and a giant wicker man. that you used as like an animated construct giant. So yeah, just like a creative use, an unusual army, so like something that's a bit different. So it's always really interesting to see, you know, people making very personal takes on army composition and setup. And he also puts a lot of effort into how he paints and presents his miniatures. So yeah, it was really good fun. And he's a very generous opponent. So yeah, that was good fun. My highlight, I think.
Yeah, that's wonderful, mate. This like sounds like the true spirit of Oldhammer.
A little exactly.
And, you know, personalization to your army and that kind of thing. So a lot of freedom given there. And of course, you're a very skilled painter and conversion artist as well. So what did you take your Vermeer army to bring out your lead this year?
Yeah, I did. And I'd finished the... I've been working on a Land Dragon conversion thing, which I've had in mind for finishing in time. So it was good to get that on the table. It caused a bit of damage. We used it as a War Mammoth. So using the War Mammoth rules in 3rd edition with a Howdah with kind of three Fianna Fáil warriors on it. So yeah, took a bit of punishment getting across the table from a lot of Empire cannons and a hail of Wood Elf arrows, but yeah, did a bit of damage once it got in about the enemy lines. So, yeah.
Was that a dragon that the prize winning dragon?
Yeah, I put it in the painting competition and
yeah. that sort of alludes, just before we get to the other guy's stories, but that alludes to the painting competition. Now, every year, Bring Out Lead does support the artists that work all year round to paint their wonderful miniatures, to put into the display cabinets for other people to have a look at and look in awe and aspire to. So there was a painting competition this year as well. Now, Kettle, can you tell us about that, like how many people entered and what kind of entries won on the day?
So it's a really, and generally in keeping with the spirit of Boyle, there is a painting competition, but it's not, you know, a hugely competitive thing. It's quite casual. There's a cabinet that's open, and people can stick in the models that they want. And they use a raffle ticket system, so you write your name in the book and put one raffle ticket under your model. And Tony Yates and Garth tend to do the judging in conjunction with someone else over the course of, you know, each year. And I think this year it was Trish Carden who was involved with the pair of them. Broadly, they have three categories: a single model, a unit or squad, and large thing. But they remain very open and will award additional prizes at their discretion for, you know, whatever else they think, or invent new categories depending on what's entered and what's available. I think this year it was definitely, you know, pretty busy with a lot of things. And I'd say generally Saturday this year, I think, was probably the busiest attendance I've seen at Boyle. So consequently, there was a lot of models entered. But there's, you know, again, a whole range of stuff like you see on the tables, from really very early Oldhammer, you know, classic pre-slaughter Citadel miniatures, right through to modern AOS kits, you know, and it's all welcome and all appreciated.
That's excellent, mate. That's wonderful. Sadly, our old man paints Phil is not here today, but he won with his pretty amazing now dragon diorama. What's the name of the dragon again? What's the name of that dragon?
Great Spined Dragon.
That's it, the Great Spined Dragon. And I think he picked up from a Bring Out Your Lead event previously.
Yeah.
In someone's boot of their car or something like that. I think it seems to be another sort of a thing offset onto Bring Out Your Lead. You can meet people in the car park and you can buy stuff off them and that kind of thing, as far as I know.
Yeah, there's definitely a, you know, a degree of swapping and trading that goes on.
Yeah.
But, you know, the again, it's one of the few rules of Boyle is that that because Foundry are offering use of their commercial site for free, that you don't conduct any sales or trades, you know, on their site, which is, you know, perfectly reasonable. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Jack, what was your highlight, mate, of Bring Out Your Lead this year?
Oh, it's going to sound terribly saccharine, but actually it was just kind of meeting the guys from the Discord in real life. It was it was lovely. Yeah. Nice to put some faces to names.
Wonderful, mate. That's wonderful. That's really great. Yeah, I'm really glad that people are actually reconnecting and connecting in the first place to meet up in person, to actually meet each other and it's not just a sort of a correspondence communication. Now you can actually meet in person and play some games together, which is the main idea.
Yeah.
Marcel, how about you, mate? What was the highlight of your Bring Out Your Lead?
For tables, I would say it was the old hammer table here. Kettle Trout was also gaming on, because that was just amazing. All these armies and units beautifully painted in the old hammer spirit. That was just awesome. And as Jack said, just meeting the people, not only here, our guys from the Discord, but just walking around, having like-minded people around you.
Yep, that's wonderful, mate.
And I think that's, sorry, I was just going to say, I think that's really in keeping with the spirit of Boyle that kind of really grew out of a group of bloggers, you know, kind of finding each other's content online and deciding to meet up in person and making an arrangement to do, like, similarly to you know, what happened this year with the Crown of Command guys, booking a table and going to the event. But the whole kind of genesis of Boyle was strangers meeting on an online community and deciding to get together in person to play some games. And I think it's really good that, you know, that continues.
Yeah, well, one of the beauties of our Discord is that you guys aren't really strangers. You've been talking to each other now in our paint and chat sessions for years now, you know, good number of years, 2 or 3 years. So it's just nice that you actually met in person to put a face to the name kind of thing, which is great, which is really good to see. Now, Clem, what was your highlight, mate, of Bring Out Your Lead this year?
Well, yeah, so many and some quite similar. Yeah, definitely the meeting everyone, getting the Call of the Crown armies together to fight was really good. Because, yeah, like I say, we've been working on that. It was like 6 months of the challenge, wasn't it? Well, eight months of the challenge. But to actually get those together on a table and be able to play a load of games with them. Yeah, when we kind of, you know, kind of through the paint and chat worked on those armies together, I think. I thought that was really good. Give it a real feel of, kind of achieving something over the course of the year. I thought that was real nice to bring those in. Me and Kev Adams again, that was really good. Tables wise, I loved the huge, now is it Princeps Tom?
Yep,
Tom Mills. It was used for second edition 40K, and then it was all modular and it had proper like dug in like gullies for the rivers and stuff, but it all, with just swapping the buildings, it all worked perfectly for Space Marine as well, for Epic. That was a really impressive board. That Wicker Man giant you mentioned, Kettle, I really like that.
Yeah, it's just a straight kit that unconverted that's available from a small company in Northumbria called Ainstay Castings. But they've got some interesting terrain, and they also make some really good 28mm scale ships. If that's of interest to anyone.
Seeing so many games being played. You know, I've seen people playing first edition Space Hulk, and I was quite busy with Call of the Crown games and just looking at stuff, so I didn't really play in as many participation things as I'd like to in future. But it was just seeing them all, it's just got such a good selection of like seeing Full Tilt being played, that's really good. That whole thing. Oh, and I sorry for Marcel getting hit in the back of the head, but the Dave Gilson magical missile thing, that was that library, and it just kind of, it was like, oh yeah, there it is.
It's a shame to miss that. It'd be really funny, but I just want to see the Gilsons play against each other, because I know they've got some kind of heated rivalry between between the two brothers. So it would have been just really funny just to watch them play a game. It would be just hilarious. So yeah, guys, it's
it often continues on into the pub on the Saturday night as well. It doesn't necessarily stop when the dice start rolling.
Oh boy, okay. It sounds like a real laugh. Like a British sitcom or something I'll be sitting through, like Fawlty Towers or something like that. But yeah, but guys, look, it sounds like an amazing event, and you know, I'm really glad that you guys got to go there and witness it for at least the final time that it's going to be held at, is it Newark in Nottingham, where the current foundry is situated. But like I said, it's not the end. It's going to continue on as long as, you know, the Ansells want to host it and they have the premises that will facilitate such an event. And if not, I'm sure they'll work out something with Garth that they can find some other place where they can host it, and Diane can do the catering and everything for it, and have you guys there again in the future. And it will start. I don't know if it'll get bigger or not, but it for me, it always seemed like a really quite small, like 50, 60 people. But in actual fact, there was like 200 people that worked through the walked through the turnstiles that day. Is that right? About 200 people?
Yeah,
I think that's about right, yeah.
Seems to be a kind of accepted estimate. But again, amazing. They're not selling tickets, and, you know, and no one's kind of counting numbers. So I suppose it's difficult to quantify exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a coming and going, and also the weather on Saturday was really wet, so I bet a lot of people were not going because of the weather.
Yeah, decided not to come because of the weather. I think that's probably very true.
Yeah.
About half a dozen cars got stuck in the mud, I think, just outside.
Oh,
geez,
really?
Yeah.
Some degree of pushing required, I think, yeah.
Wow, okay. So, but in closing, thanks guys for coming in to share your stories about Bring Out Your Lead. I mean, your stories infuse the interest of other people who listen on the podcast, like myself and other like-minded people who would love to play, or at least to just come to have a look. I mean, I get to see Jeff at Oakbound Studios videos on his YouTube channel, which are always interesting, and I always love his sort of views and how he presents Bring Out Your Lead. In a way that sort of showcases the tables and the people attending and that kind of thing, not being too intrusive, but just sort of standing back and just showing everybody, you know, giving a glimpse of what it's like, which I want to give Jeff a shout out, and I hope I can get him back on the Corona Command at some point in the future to talk about Bring Out Your Lead, because he made something pretty spectacular as a present for Diane Ansell, because Brian, unfortunately, wasn't able, physically able, or his health just wasn't able to come on the day. So Kettle, you were there, I think, mate, at the presentation at the end. What exactly did Jeff make for Diane?
So I think the guys who organize and run Boyle, they wanted to commemorate with this being physically the 10th time Boyle had taken place, although the 11th year since it started, just wanted to gift something to the Ansells and Foundry to say thanks for their generosity, you know, that allows Boyle to kind of really exist in the way that it does by providing, you know, their facilities at Foundry free of charge, which is, you know, obviously a really generous thing to do. So they commissioned Jeff to make a life-size replica of the Warhammer from the cover of the third edition Warhammer Fantasy rulebook, which was really great, and like on a little kind of wooden plaque, and presented it to her. I think Jeff has a background in theatre prop making, so he did a, you know, like great job, and yeah, that seemed like a really nice, you know, Warhammer related old hammer thing, an actual old hammer to give to the Ansells as a sort of gesture of thanks for all that they do to allow it to take place.
Yeah, it looks absolutely brilliant. I think it was just a wonderful bit of craftsmanship, how he put that together. Mm-hmm. It was really, really interesting. So guys, final question, how much did you spend at the foundry. When you, did anybody bring back the lead piles on the way home? And as a thank you to the Ansels for a wonderful weekend. Marcel, we'll start with you, mate. Did you buy anything?
Oh yes, I kept strong and I didn't buy any historical ranges. So I'm really proud of myself. But I bought two blisters from their skeleton range, like the command team for the skeleton cavalry, because they fit nicely, I think, with the plastic old-timer skeletons. And I bought a blister of their undead skeleton crossbow. They looked really nice. And then I bought the blister of the... I bought the blister of the late medieval captains for getting my head sculpted on one of them. That's true. And then I bought some blisters from their, or what's it called, street violence range. That is a kind of modern range with punks and SWAT teams and whatever. And I bought some of them for my cyberpunk and zombie project.
That's wonderful, mate. I'm sure the Ansel will be very thankful for your patronage on the day, that you brought some lovely War Games Foundry miniatures back home to Germany. So that's excellent. Jack, did you purchase anything on the day, mate?
I did, yeah. I mean, the Foundry miniatures are actually really lovely. I justify it to myself by saying this is effectively the price of entry. There's no tickets, so you buy a little lead then to make up for it. Yeah, I did. I got, they had some lovely Beastman sculpts there, so I got some of those. And I let my son go and pick whatever he wanted for himself as well, so he came out of a little Hydra miniature, which, having looked at it, is going to be an absolute bugger to put together. So there's that to do at some point. But yeah, no, I didn't get too mad.
Wonderful, mate. Okay, Clem, what did you get, mate?
Well, I bought the Trial Slayer type Foundry model. I can't remember what, I think it was a Norse dwarf something, to get my face sculpted on. I gave the money to the charity for Kev sculpting, which was so generously priced on that. I mean, he's absolute master of it.
Yeah.
It's £30 that goes to charity to get, and I was like, yeah, gotta do that. I got the painting guide that they do. They're Kevin Dallimore, Foundry Miniatures, their painting and modelling guide.
Yes.
And yeah, all things that I wasn't really intended to get, but I kind of was just inspired by little projects that came from doing the Boyle thing. Like, now I've started dwarf army because of that figure. I bought their expert paint sets, because their paints come in a set of three. You get like a shade tone, a mid tone, and a highlight tone. I thought, I want to try that out. They do their expert paint range. I'm going to use that on my dwarfs. Bought that. And I got some handgunners from their historical range, but they will go with my Empire army that I want to eventually build, which is mostly Battlemasters models. I thought they'd go quite well. I think that's about it from there.
Oh, good on you, mate. Did well. Very good. Excellent.
Good.
Sounds like a nice little bag of goodies there you brought home to the Clem family. Yeah, that's nice, mate. That's great. And Kettle Trout, did you get anything, mate, on the day?
Yeah, I ended up coming away with a selection of Foundry bits and pieces, some little Kev Adams goblins riding weird two-legged dinosaurs, and guest outfits, and I've got a troll. A few bits and pieces.
Yeah. Everyone came away with a little floaty guy as well. He gave away a little free, free specific miniature for the occasion, which is actually a joy to paint. Actually, it's a lovely little min.
Yeah, they make an event specific miniature each year, which again is given out for free and to everyone who attends. And they, again, the Boyle organisers make a point of saying, you've been given it as a gift. Please don't sell it. You know, they're quite happy for you to give it away, but they really strongly discourage you putting it on eBay.
I'd selling it. Give it to Jerome, because I know him from Hastings, and he has been to Boyle quite a lot. Hasn't been able to go this year because he's ill.
Well, that's a really nice thing to do. But they tend to alternate each year between a fantasy and a sci-fi sort of sculpt to kind of keep the two camps happy. But that in itself is a really nice thing that they do, and it's nice to have a fairly exclusive memento of the event. And I know that the organizers of Boyle have started to supply the various other Oldtimer events, like the Oldtimer Poland, with casts of the Boyle figure to distribute at their events as well, which I think is a really nice,
it's brilliant.
Nice thing for them to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. That's very generous of them. Well, guys.
I'm actually painting at the moment my Orc Shaman I got there. One of the freebies.
Oh, yeah, some chap was giving those away as well, wasn't he? Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Literally just...
Lots of...
This morning.
That's right. So, like, in addition to the event miniature, you quite often encounter people who are giving away other miniatures. You know, sometimes... Like new sculpts that they have made, like for instance the Orc Daemon was a 3D print of a digital sculpt that a Spanish guy, I think his company is called Red Bar Games, had made. I think he sculpted it himself for the Isle of Gort campaign that I think they were going to be playing at Boyle, and he said he just printed off a few. I think he said about 150 extra copies and was quite happy to give them away to people.
Yeah.
With no expectation or onus on you to do anything with it, and you know there are several other people who bring bits boxes of doubles or miniatures that they might be broken or things that they're not going to use and just sit them on a table and people can help themselves. It's very difficult. Even if you don't spend any money at Boyle, it's pretty difficult to leave without some new miniatures in some form or another.
Yeah, mate, that's for sure. Now, it sounds like a wonderful event, and I really thank you guys, all of you. So that's Jack, Clem, Kendall Trout, and Marcel for sharing all your stories about Bring Out Lead for 2023 this year. I really am really glad you guys got to connect and meet in person and to, like I said, put a face to a name that you've known from the Discord for all these years. And it's just one of those highlights you guys can enjoy. And hopefully I will make it there one day, one year, one pilgrimage, if the big boss allows me to make my voyage over to the UK again after, 30-odd years since being there to attend Bring Out Your Lead to play some and roll some dice with you guys. So thank you very much again for this evening, and take care, and catch you again next time.
Thanks.
Excellent, thanks all.
Okay, right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
Yeah.